podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So, let's say you're into yoga or Pilates, or maybe you dabble in gymnastics like me. Either way, you know being flexible is key to doing what you love. That's why Smoothie King created this stretch and flex smoothie for people like us. With whole fruits and organic veggies, plus type 2 collagen, make it part of your daily fitness routine to support flexibility and joint health. So try the stretch and flex smoothie in tart cherry or pineapple kale. Order online today for pickup or delivery. Smoothie King, rule the day.
When you get a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt, it comes from the police.
And from your mother.
And your best friend.
And your family.
We want you to buckle up every trip, every time.
3 out of 4 people ejected from a vehicle in a crash will die.
If you won't do it for yourself,
do it for us. We like having you around.
Click it or ticket. A message from the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning.
Do the Friday forecast. Thank God, international football is done. That's it now to the summer. We have to get back to the proper stuff now. Talk about Premier League and nothing else for a little while. So tonight I am joined by the returning Pete from the Fox's Sake podcast. And joining us for the first time for the podcast, we've got Conan from Villa Podcast and my partner in crime, Avi, is here again as always. How are we all, gents?
Yeah, good. Sound.
Did we all enjoy our international break?
Oh, I can't get enough of the Luxembourgs and the San Marinos and all that. It's what I live for. That's proper football. None of this Premier League stuff. None of this now, man.
So, sorry, Chris, are you trolling me right now? You know I'm from Ireland and you're asking me that I enjoy my international break.
Listen, I haven't started on Villa yet, so, you know, I'll break in gently.
That's a yellow card offence already for Pete.
The only thing I enjoyed about the international break was that Villa didn't lose. Unfortunately, Ireland lost the whole time as well.
I mean, to be fair, as a Liverpool fan, we're undefeated in five weeks now. We're quite impressed. So, you know, you've got to take the win to the come. Pete's out here all smug going, oh, we just went all the time. It's just what we do.
It's interrupted one of the best seasons of all time. I don't know. It's been the worst couple of weeks of my life. It's terrible.
You speak for yourself. It's been quite good for us. So just before we get any further, here at the Friday Wells, we want to pass on our condolences to Claude's family. For those of you who don't know, Claude obviously was a very popular YouTuber, particularly known for his work on AFTV, very passionate Arsenal fan, who sadly passed away a few days ago. So we'd just like to pass on our condolences to his friends and family, you know, because it's a very difficult time for them. Avi, anything you want to add?
Yeah, no, just echoing your words, Chris. We did a show yesterday with Lee Gunner and Turkish, who are Arsenal fans, and they said some beautiful words with Claude. And it's just a shame, isn't it, that he was like one of the first sort of pioneers with AFTV and the way they sort of first sort of started. And, you know, it's given sort of people like myself, like our, you know, it's given me the confidence to express my views on podcasts and, you know, allowing us having that confidence to come on sort of live podcasts and football shows and stuff. So it's a big loss. And it's not just for Arsenal fans, opposition fans as well. I mean, I think genuinely they appreciated the content that was coming out, you know, and there was great camaraderie between himself and the other members of the AFTV team. So yeah, thoughts and prayers with his family and friends.
I agree. Well said, mate. Right, so let's go into the first game. So the first, I'll be honest, there aren't many big games this weekend. So the probably more interesting games, we're going to go with the Monday night game of Wolverhampton versus West Ham. Wolves, they need to turn it around at some point. I mean, we know who they're missing, but, you know, they've got quality there. And West Ham, who, like about Lowe, David Moyes, he's gotten to where they are. They are currently fifth in the league and, you know, they're doing really, really well. So, Pete, how are you seeing this game going?
It's a really interesting game for me. Wolves, I completely agree, but they do have quite a nice run of fixtures. Their next 5 or 6 games do look fairly kind, but we know the main problems with Wolves this season. They've obviously had tremendous problems injury wise, maybe not numbers of other clubs, but in terms of key personnel. And it's a little bit of an evolution with bringing in quite a lot of youngsters and knowing that they're going to be a secure Premier League club. It's probably that season that teams who have been promoted and have gone through a couple of years, they do need that kind of transition from the team essentially that got them promoted. So there's no problems there, but I'd imagine they'll be looking to really kick on over the next, say, four or five games. But for West Ham, it's a really, really intriguing game because as much as they're looking ahead and looking forward at maybe qualifying for the Champions League, they've also got to look behind them as well and see who's actually going to be rivaling them and catching them for those Champions League possible places. And you look behind them, you've got the likes of Tottenham with a relatively, what looks on paper, easy game. And then you look ahead of them and you look at teams already in the places for the Champions League, the likes of, say, Chelsea, nearest to them, and they've got a relatively easy game. So it's a difficult game for them because eventually it will come to the point where have they got it? Have they got it upstairs? Have they got... And people use the word bottle all the time, but I don't think it's the case with West Ham. But they just need to keep up their pace if they're going to qualify. I don't think they will. But this game, I think they do have a chance, certainly, of picking up points. They just look like, all round, they're very stable, very solid, but also they do have the likes of Lingard, they do have the likes of Antonio, which, against a Wolves side that's possibly missing their goalkeeper, I think they might just have enough to possibly take the 3 points in. I'm going to go for West Ham. And also, just to kind of round off what I was saying about the Hammers, I actually think that they will be in the conversation for those top four places fairly late in the season. I know there's only, what, 7 or 8 games to go. But I think when you get to the real crunch, last 3 or 4 games, I still think they actually will be in with a chance. I think they are a very solid side. And I'm going to go for an away win. I think Lingard's form in the Premier League is just too good to ignore. And if they don't have their goalkeeper, I think Wolves' defence, the effect that will have on what is a good defence, might just be enough for West Ham to take it. And I'm going to go for a 1-0 Hammers win. I think they're a very good side, West Ham.
Cool. I'm getting a lot of love for my shirt at the moment. Those of you interested, this shirt's actually from one of our sponsors from other shows, Three Retro. So if you are looking for a retro shirt, they're a good place to go for you. So, Conan, how are you seeing Wolves versus West Ham?
I actually have the exact same scoreline as you, Pete. Sorry for jumping on that bandwagon, but mostly because I've watched too many Wolves games this season for my sins, and they're mostly boring. Like, you know, Nuno Espirito Santo is a lovely fella, obviously a good manager, but he's incredibly reductive. Like, his team shape, his game plans are all based around not conceding. Basically, it's always the first thought that he has in his head is, how can I stop the opposition? And he does it really well. But when a team comes to Wolves, and usually they do, you know, and they're not willing to open up, I think Pep Guardiola is still the only manager who is silly enough to basically bend over for Nuno. Like, they find it incredibly tough because they don't, they never seem to think of a way of getting through these opposition teams. And that's why I have 1-0, because David Moyes is doing a good job, right? And I don't want to take away from the job he's doing, but there was a game earlier in the season, and this is when Antonio was out, and I looked at the West Ham bench, and they had Lanzini, and they had Benrahma, and they had Yarmolenko. I was thinking, how did they get this team? Where did this come from? Or this was the squad that they had, and it was clear then that all of a sudden West Ham were a force to be at least noticed, if not reckoned with, and he has done a good job to keep that going. Now they've added Lingard, who I'm just waiting for Lingard to eventually stop, but he hasn't stopped. They scored 5 and 7. At the start, I was justifying a lot of those majors for him because his first 2 goals were against Villa, and I remember those 2 goals. They were 2 mistakes by Emi Martinez. So I wasn't counting him in my head, but he's added 3 since, and you know, he's kept going. He's brought it into the England camp. West Ham have good options. David Moyes is now doing a good job, and as we say, like, he can keep that going. I do agree, and they've got the depth there if they need it.
Okay. So, Avi, are you going to give West Ham any chance? Looking in the comments, most people have got 1-0, 1-1, 1-0 West Ham, 2-1 West Ham. Ben Brady's on the fuse. Actually got Wolves down 2-1 Wolves, Neto double. What are you saying?
I think with Wolves this season, I think he's had a bit of an identity crisis with the team. Nuno has, I think, especially with Jimenez, because he probably thought that he would, you know, give him another 38 games in the season, and now all of a sudden he suffered a poor injury, the poor bloke. But and from there, he's just sort of got muddled up with what he wants to do. So it might just be go back to the summer, refresh, you know, take time off and come back, you know, with new ideas and whatnot, and sort of change the way they play, because they've got to adapt to when they do suffer serious injury like that. Like the players that are coming in, like Fabio Silva, still young, isn't he? Still 19, still finding his way in this, you know, in the Premiership, which is difficult because the speed and whatnot. So he's still catching up with that. So I think this will be a draw. I think Delwyn Jones said 1-1. So I'm going for 1-1. And West Ham, I think Moyes, I think it's for a club like West Ham, it's benefited them having no fans, because we know what the Hammers are like, especially the fans that, like, so even going back to Upton Park, even if it was 0-0, the fans would be on the back, whether it was Moyes, Allardyce before him, and managers that have come previously, even Harry Redknapp going back to the 90s. But it's benefited them because it's sort of like he's been patient. He doesn't get nervous to change tactics or bring players on. So I think if anyone's benefited this season, it's probably been West Ham and probably United as well. So, but I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I just think it's going to be, I think West Ham will get an early goal, but I think Wolves will get one back.
Cool. Okay. I think I'm the exception to the rule then. I actually think Wolves will do. We'll get something. I've got Wolves down for a 2-1. I just feel Neto and David Moyes at some point always reverts to being David Moyes. And it's this sort of game where David Moyes has generally made a mistake with them. So I'm playing the average. So I'm going to go with 2-1 to Wolves. So quick fire round. Chelsea, West Ham. West Brom. Chelsea, West Brom. What are you saying?
Chelsea, West Brom. It's got to be a home win, and it's got to be whatever the score, whatever you think Chelsea are going to score, however many goals you think they're going to score, it's going to be nil at the other end, isn't it? It's something to nil, and I think I just think it's going to be a fairly solid routine 2-0 win with another probably couple of bad Timo Werner misses, but there we go.
There we go. Connor, what are you saying?
Did you see that Big Sam quote today where he was talking about if we go down, I'm still keeping the job next season? And I thought, if we go down, what planet are you on? Like, you know, you're gone, mate. 3-0 Chelsea, I have.
Avi?
Yeah, I'm going with the Werner brace. I think he'll score 2 tomorrow.
That's bad when you're thinking that. I'm going 2-0 Chelsea. Here's one for you. When will Sam Allardyce walk out? Because he has this record of he's never been relegated as a manager, and he's got one of the biggest egos around. When do you think he walks out?
I think he'll stick it out. Sorry, guys, I'm just going to chime in. I think he'll stick it out. I think he'll take him back to the Championship and then bring him back up again. I really do.
What has he ever done that?
He's never done it, but he's got to break that tradition once in a while. Miracles do happen, Chris. Miracles do happen. Remember that.
Yeah. And I will be sarcastic one week. Pete, do you think he sees out the season, or do you think he walks before the relegation's confirmed?
Oh, he goes. And what he will do, he will go 24 hours before the final game. So he could, it's the ultimate trolling, essentially. He'll never mention it at all. He'll never mention it. And all of a sudden, 24 hours before that last game, he'll go.
Yeah. And Big Sam's never been relegated. That'll still be the stat.
Yeah, I think that's something that he just wants. He'll go when the gravy gets cold, which is summed him up perfectly. Leeds, Sheffield United, bit of a Yorkshire derby. Pete, what are we thinking, Yorkshire derby?
Sheffield United, when they turned up at Leicester a few weeks ago, the first game since Wilder went, they were a complete mess. They were all over the place. And it was just a matter of time until they conceded. And when they did, there was just no fight there. And all Leicester needed to do was generally move the ball across the park pretty quickly, and it was easy to control the game. Looking down the Premier League, if away from the relative, say, top 4 or 5 clubs, if you were to pick one team who you think could do that to the greatest effect, it probably would be Leeds. I do worry about their pitch. Their pitches are very good, but I still think Leeds can and will rip them apart, essentially. They'll work them over. Rafinha's, I think, is a great player. I think he's got, hopefully, ideas of moving away from Leeds at the end of the season. I know there'll be a lot of Premier League clubs who'll be interested in him, but I can see him fitting absolutely perfectly at Leicester. If they would accept a bid from Leicester, you know, we shall see, but that's probably quite far-fetched. I can't see anything but a good, convincing home win. I think Sheffield United need the season to finish. And I can see this being a big score. I'm going to go for the big five. I think they're going to win 5-0. I can just see Leeds moving that ball quickly and Sheffield United just not having a chance. And so, you know, it might be out there, but I'm going to go 5-0. Rafinha to have a bit of a field day, I think.
Actually, you're getting a contract on all Leeds TV, then they'll be made up with a 5-0. Avi, what are you saying for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, funny enough, you never know with Sheffield United, because Wilder's gone now. Remember, they always have that effect, isn't it? When a manager goes, that team sort of relishes and they get up for that sort of one game and they start putting a surprise on. But I think tomorrow it will be a Leeds win. It will be business as usual. I think 3-0, going with Leeds 3-0 at home.
Yeah, looking at the console, Rajiv 3-0. Abbo's got a 1-1. I've seen 4-0 from Football Daily. So, you know, quite a few good ones there. Kanan, what do you think of this one?
I think this is such a shame, isn't it, that there are no fans. This is exactly the sort of game on a Saturday that you would be tuning into, like, you know, nice afternoon. As you say, Yorkshire Derby, there would be sparks flying no matter what Sheffield United's situation is, but it was me.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive. Are you thinking more about how to tighten up your budget these days? Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average, and customers can qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up. A little off your rate each month goes a long way. Get a quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed in 2020. Potential savings will vary. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations.
Listen there, like the Leeds pitch is disgraceful, and I don't know at what stage, like, there are no fans. Like, why are they persisting on playing there? You know, the ground is terrible. Like, they'd be better off moving down to Leeds University and playing there, where like the surface is better, because at this stage it's a terrible spectacle. And I do not know how a Marcelo Bielsa team is happy playing there as well. Like, their whole game plan is on running and energy and being intense for 90 minutes, and if they can't run, if they're slipping every time they're trying to do that, it does not suit them. Like, if this was Sam Allardyce hitting the ball into the air, it would suit them perfectly, Sean Dyche. But, yeah, like, I'm going to go for Leeds to win, just because I think it's a good point that Avi makes. I think a manager can obviously get them going. I think it'll be 3-1 to that end. I think Sheffield United will get a goal.
Grab one.
Yeah, but only Leeds are more of a Jekyll and Hyde team than Villa. I think between the two of them this season, they've played 57 games, and eight of those matches have been draws. Outside of that, they've just won or lost. Both of those teams are night and day, so you don't know which team will show up, and that could be feeding into Avi's mantra as well. But I still think Leeds will. I think it'll be 3-1. Yeah,
good. I've gone 3-0 Leeds. I think as mad as Leeds are, and they are a bit of a mad side, they're great to watch when you're not playing them. But this just feels like routine. Sheffield United just look like a club that need the season over. I think they're already planning for the Championship. Without Jack O'Connell, I just think their defence was doomed once they lost Jack O'Connell. I think that was the biggest loss for them. So, final quick fire game. Southampton-Burnley. Southampton, who are a very strange side. They've had some great results, and then they throw in the odd 9-0 because they like a 9-0. Now they're currently languishing in 14th. It wasn't that long ago. They were like 6th.
It's ever since they beat us, Chris. That's been their curse. So ever since they beat us, they just went on a down spiral.
I think that's when you predicted another big win for Liverpool. I think that also is the common theme we've noticed. I think Pete was actually, that was the last show Pete was on, I think, when you predicted the big Fulham win, but we won't talk about that. Pete, how are you seeing this one?
This is a really, really difficult game to try and not just preview, but you know, if you were to say Burnley, you could put a load of arguments for that. If you could say Southampton, you could say the same, or even a low-scoring draw. I've said many, many times about Burnley that I really like Burnley. I like the way that they play because it's the Burnley way. It's the way that they go about things. And And I think they can go and get something from Southampton, who they're going to have one eye on the FA Cup semi-final against their good selves. And it's not the sort of team that you want to kind of turn up and play after an international period, I think. I think Burnley will turn up and you know that they're going to play their game. They're going to put the same amount of effort that they put in all the time. They're going to be big, they're going to be physical. And unless you're on your A game, you're going to be in for a real tough game. That being said, if Southampton play to their A game, to their best, then overall they should win the game because they are a better side. And they do go on these mad runs, don't they, Southampton, in both senses of the name, because they can beat anyone in the league, they can get themselves out of trouble, and not just get themselves out of trouble, but then they go and look like they're going to qualify for Europe. Next thing you know, they're losing 9-0 on a couple of occasions. It's incredible, really. I'm going to go for an away win. Big Burnley fan, so it's going to be away win. It's going to be low scoring. In fact, actually, I'm going to change. I'm going to go 2-1 Burnley. Land of the Giants up top. And I think it's going to be the Wood Show. Big fan of the former Leicester player. But I'm going to go for an away win. I'm going to go for 2-1 Burnley. Maybe just catching the Saints slightly cold after some of their players coming back. And again, I think a club like Southampton in their position, i.e. nothing really to play for in the Premier League, they're going to already have a look at what's going to happen at Wembley in a few weeks' time. So Burnley to hopefully start a run of really bad form for Southampton leading up to that semi-final.
Okay. Conan, what are you saying for Southampton versus Burnley?
You have to stop letting Pete go ahead of me. I've got 2-1 as well.
I'll swap you around next time. Go on. Yeah.
You can see from the comments there as well, it's sort of split, isn't it? Their points total is exactly the same. You're right. I sometimes fall into the trap of it's too easy to poke fun at Sean Dyche and that style of play, but like it suits Burnley, and like they're a team of lower resources. Like, you know, they're a team of limited quality, and when that works, like I watched them play Villa and they scored 3 goals, you know, and I couldn't complain about any one of them, really. Like, you know, they got the best out of their team that night. And Villa, I thought, like, obviously, I would think that they threw it away. But Burnley were a team who maximised exactly what they had. And I thought, like, you know, if that was my team, I would be very proud of them. You know, so in a sense, I do have a bit of respect for them, as much as I think they bore me sometimes. Or it's like, okay, you know, let's get another team in here. But, I mean, there has to be room for that in sport as well. We can't just have everybody doing exactly the same. And yeah, I think it's a quick fire round, isn't it? So I'll just say 2-1 and shut up.
Avi?
Yeah, I'll be really quick. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go opposite to what these boys have said. I'm going to go 2-1 Southampton. And I think Minamino will score tomorrow too.
Of course you do. He's just for those who don't know, Avi has never forgiven Klopp for not picking Minamino since we beat Crystal Palace 7-0. Because he scored in a 7-0 game. He's the next Messi now, and he should be playing every week. I mean, you'd be all right, Abby. You can watch with Sevilla next year, so you'd be all right. I also have two.
He scored on international duty as well last week against Mongolia. So
what, in a 14-0 win game? Brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Wow. Yeah,
I've got a
top class opposition.
I'd fancy myself to score in that game, to be honest, when it's 14-0. Yeah, anyone fancy the game. I also have 2-1 Southampton because Danny Ings is back. And one thing that Danny Ings does is just score goals. He's if he hadn't picked that injury, I think he would have been in the England squad for the current internationals. So I think 2-1 just because of the Danny Ings factor.
Is that right. Man City's number 9, Danny Ings?
Well, no, apparently not. No, because Pepper said they can't buy a striker. So
he said money's tight this summer for City.
So they're going to get rid of Aguero and just stick what they've got. So that's what they're going to do.
Yeah,
if you believe that, you'll believe anything.
Yeah. You should never have let Ings go, Avi.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it looks like that. I mean, the problem at the time with Ings was he looked like someone who needed a run of games, and after that knee injury, he was never going to get it. It was a perfect, to us, it's a perfect move for him. But I could see him, you know, Southampton do well to keep hold of him this summer.
I think a certain Brendan Rodgers will be looking at Danny Ings this summer. I think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'll be a very good signing for Leicester. There is a real circle going on with Southampton and Liverpool, isn't there? It's just in one door, out the other. And, you know, when you sign a player from Southampton, do you get like a return fare and you just send another player back down? You know,
Well, we've had to suck up a lot to them as well after the Van Dijk fiasco of the summer of 2017. So there's been a lot of giving them players back, us taking a few from them. I don't think we've taken a player from them, have we? Since it is Van Dijk, wasn't it, the last player?
Van Dijk's the last one. We've
given him Minamino, Ings, yeah.
Yeah, we've lost that Sands and Lords again, I think. They won't accept it anymore, unfortunately. Right, so the next big game is Villa versus Fulham. So Conan's raring to talk about this one, so he can go last. Avi.
I did want to actually speak about this, not just because Conan's on and he's a Villa fan, but Dean Smith. No, I think Dean Smith, we hear about the stories of Brendan Rodgers and the Sean Dyches, what great jobs they've done and whatnot. I think Dean Smith doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I mean, last season, you know, you scrape through safety, but the nucleus of players he's kept, he's got a tune out of Jack Grealish when you thought his sort of lifestyle outside the pitch was getting a bit wayward. He's controlled that. He's maintained to keep Jack Grealish. Because there should be clubs out there who are ready to pay 60, 70 million for him because he has the quality. And I think Dean Smith is one of the most underrated managers in the Premiership. And when you think that we've got Gareth Southgate as the England manager, you think, why won't managers like Dean Smith have a chance? Because they give the young players the confidence to go out there and express themselves. He's done wonders with Ollie Watkins. And obviously Jack Grealish gets the plaudits, but players like Douglas Luiz, he's got tunes out of them. Ezri Konsa, like Matty Cash, who was a great signing from Nottingham Forest. I think he's another great gem at right back. So I think Dean Smith deserves a lot of credit for the work that he's done. And then people say, oh, but can you take him to the next level? Well, he's taken him to a next level to a point where they're in the top 10 right now. So the next level would obviously be top six, top eight. But give him the chance. I hear people saying, oh, Gerrard, this, he could get a job at Villa. But why would you get rid of a system that's working right now? You know, you've got Dean Smith, you've got John Terry in the setup, you know, and everything's seemingly, you know, working well. So I just wanted to say that on Dean Smith, very underrated manager. And I think a routine win for Villa against Fulham. I think they will win, even though Fulham have improved under Scott Parker in recent weeks, months. I think Villa will win this. I think 2-1.
Oh, I love that, by the way, Avi. Can we just snippet this out and send it on to me? Just
so I'll send it to you later on, yeah.
My phone, yeah.
It's all right. Give it 5 minutes. We'll be selling off your squad in a minute. Pete, how are you seeing this game?
Well, I'll echo the comments there, really, about the manager. Very good. And Kumar actually mentioned in one of the comments whether it would be Dyche or Rodgers. Obviously, Rodgers all the time, you know. I tell you, he's done very well at Burnley, but I wouldn't have him as a manager. But... This is a really interesting game because Fulham have really got their act together. Again, in talking about managers, the way that Scott Parker has managed to change his side in a way from the start of the season, and not only in terms of style, in terms of shape, but also to then make them more solid, to get them a footing into the Premier League, and also then to start to chip away at trying to claw them way out of trouble, and to do that on a consistent basis, that's a very, very it's difficult to do. But you can go on runs, you can go on small runs as a team, you can go and win three games or whatever, and all of a sudden find yourself in with a chance of surviving. But to have a huge chunk of the season where you've progressed all the time, and you can see it, even if you only see Fulham every now and again, you can see them. And I always say that the first game it happened was at the King Power when they turned up and beat Leicester hands down, and Leicester were fine. They were absolutely fine that day, beaten by the better team, and everyone said what a big shock it was. And I kept saying, well, it wasn't really a shock. They played very well. They deserved it. And I'm going to go for an away win here because of what they need in this season. They need the 3 points. I think they'll get it. Villa, I'm not too sure whether Grealish will start. I think he'll play. Obviously, we'll find out a bit more information in the second. But without him, they're just missing that spark going forward. The goals have dried up naturally without Grealish. They've had a tremendous season. It's very easy to look at Villa and go, they've run out of steam. I don't think they've run out of steam at all. They're just missing their best player, quite frankly. And the spark's gone up front because of that. The goals have dried up. They'll be back once he's flying again, Grealish. And I think he will be because he'll be looking at the summer and going, yeah, have a good end of the season. He's in the England squad, maybe even in the first team. So I'm going to go for an away win. I think this is going to be a very good game. Lots of goals. I'm going to go for 3-2 to Fulham here. Maybe Grealish coming on for the final 30 minutes and just showing everyone what he can do once again. But I want to go for an away win, no offence.
Oh, he's just broken Conan's heart there. One that actually, Super Tiger said Martinez is arguably the signing of the season, which is probably not a bad shout. I mean, there is generally a point we'll get to the Arsenal game. Did Arsenal let the wrong keeper go? There is, you can probably have that debate about it. So, Conan, me and Yossi have a little bit of a back and forth on social media and WhatsApps about you, about players. You said Conte has just signed a new contract, which, to be honest, is a big plus for Villa because I do think a lot of clubs were talking about it. I mean, me and Avi were saying pre-internationals, we were surprised he hadn't got an England call-up because we thought he must be pretty close. I mean, I would argue he's playing better than Mings, which is why I was surprised he got in, you know, from the outside looking in. The other question is about Luiz in the middle. There is talk of a buyback clause to City. Is that correct?
It is, and it's cheap. I think it's 25 million. So it's not great.
You'll be okay. City haven't got any money apparently, so you don't need to worry about that.
The good and the bad thing about that is that Douglas Luiz has not been good over the last 9 games or so. So he's probably played himself out of Pep Guardiola's ideas. But obviously, we wish he'd be playing better.
Yeah. Is that a tactical move?
Yeah. The Martinez point there to somebody made is good. Like, yeah, I think he's one of the signings of the season as well. But he's somebody I think that sums up this Villa at the minute. So Avi's talked brilliantly about Dean Smith, and I can't even top it. I love Dean Smith. I can't speak highly enough of him. But I think Villa, as a club, just have their act together a little bit. They remind me, they're like Liverpool, only further down the road, like a sort of bargain basement Liverpool, you know, where the whole way through the club, they have the right structure in place and they're making the right moves. And they seem like they know what they're doing all over the shop. And when I saw Martinez being bought, I was like, great, but you know, we have Tom Heaton. And, you know, I was thinking we don't need a keeper, even though Tom Heaton was going to be missing for the first 8-9 games of the season, which you think about it now, it's almost a third of the season that I was willing to just write off. And not only that, you brought in a keeper who just upgraded the squad instantly. You know, you've got Tom Heaton on the bench. Like, you know, and Matt Cash is another example. I think Ali mentioned him as well, where he sounds so naive now when you look back, but I thought...
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package, but that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated, and right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
We've got Fred Gilbert and El Mohamedy. We don't need a right back. And you bring in Matt Cash. And again, just everything upgrades. And this guy is like he's supposed to be, like he was a converted winger from Nottingham Forest. And now he's just the brain this lad has as a defender. Like, he isn't even doing much going forward. And we don't need him to do that. He's just so tuned in. His interceptions are through the roof. He's tough. He's up for it. Like, he's just one of those players that everybody instantly loves because, like, yeah, you know, he's putting his heart on his sleeve. And like, yeah, we're talking about Grealish. Like, he has been missing. I wouldn't rule out Fulham from this game either, because even when Grealish was there for a few games just before he got injured, like, Villa has not been going well for too long a time now, and it's been infuriating to watch, and it's again, like I said, night and day earlier on, it's not been the same Villa from the first half of the season, and this may be to be expected. They definitely, obviously, they overachieved in the first half of the season, but the problem with that is that all Villa fans, we didn't just realign our expectations. It was almost like we needed to keep pushing on, because you keep talking about Grealish, like, and it's hard for me to enjoy Jack Grealish, even though he signed a new contract, but it's hard for me to enjoy that because I'm always worried about when he's going to leave or who's going to take him. And when Villa were sniffing around the top four this year, it was like, Christ, if we can get into the top four, then we can definitely keep him. We can add in somebody. We bought Barkley, played 4 good games, turned out to be shit, you know. But it's like
that's the norm with Barkley. Yeah. As he goes to Birmingham.
It's always. It's almost as normal as saying Mourinho lasts less than 3 seasons. Everyone goes, I've seen the story before. The only thing that changes is the club.
Now, but the good thing about Barkley at the time was like, oh, that's a statement sign. And even though it was on loan, it was an England international at the time coming in. But I was thinking, right, we can get rid of him, but maybe we can get in somebody that same caliber if we get top four. So the whole time it was like, we need to get there. We need to get there. No, we're never getting there. So it's a shame. But like I say, like you mentioned Konsa, it's right that you talked about Mings. Like Konsa has been way better than Mings this season. There was a report that United were looking to buy Mings earlier in the year, and I was like, oh God, like, you know, don't take Mings. You know, we're all thinking that as long as Konsa can stay, and then of course
me and Avi were after Konsa.
Well, Liverpool, just, the smarter
he just, club, he, yeah. he just looks the better player.
He's far better. Well, he's been far better to see. Like, I know Mings when he's at it, he's obviously class, but he's not always at it. Like Konsa has been flawless this season. He's rapid across the ground. He played right back after the restart last year. You know, so he's a good ball player as well. Hasn't made one mistake. He's just been class. And yeah, of course it was Liverpool who were the ones who were tuned in. They think, no, give us the 23-year-old who's way better. We'll take him off you. You know, but like they give him a new contract. They already have a new contract for Mings, for McGinn, and for Grealish. You know, so if they do lose these players, they're going to get a lot of money for it. So it's good to see that the whole way through the club. But rather than me turning this into an Aston Villa podcast, I'll just tell you that with Jack Grealish back, I think I can't foresee a scenario where he'd be on the bench. Like the players have shown that they have just been waiting for him to come back. And that's very much depressing. Like, you know, that they're just waiting for their main man to come back. I know it's tough to play without him, but they're supposed to be players with ambitions of their own. I thought they would at least show that they were mid-table capable team, but their form has been relegation form since Grealish has been gone. So I think Smith will just get him back in. Like he's been saying that he'll be back next week for the last 7 games. And now that he's had a week's training under his belt, he's had all that rest, 2 weeks without any game for the team, I think he has to come back because we are clueless without him at the minute.
Cool. So what score prediction are you going for?
I'm going for 2-1 Aston Villa.
2-1, cool. I had 2-0 Villa. As good as Fulham under Parker have been really good. I think despite losing today, I still think Fulham will leapfrog Newcastle back before the last game of the season.
I think so too.
And we'll get some Newcastle later. I got a lot of stick probably a few weeks ago when I felt Newcastle were at risk of doing a Sunderland. And as the season's gone on, I still feel they're at that risk. I do worry for Newcastle. If they go down, I'm not sure they can bounce back second time. Not with the current owner they've got, because he's a con man, basically. And it's a shame because I enjoy games against Newcastle. When the fans come to Anfield, they're great. And they're a good, really good club, but they're just so badly mismanaged. Whereas Fulham, in fairness, were poor 2 years ago, and this year they come up with a plan. And they've got players to play in the right position to play to a system. And they're playing really well. I mean, I think Anderson at centre-back is the main reason they're doing so well. He's a proper leader. He just keeps them solid, which I think is what they need.
Just a quick shout out to the owner as well, because they've actually supported Parker in this. I know at the beginning of the season he was worried about signings, and there was a bit of an outburst from him that, look, I don't have any say on the signings, but they've supported him, they've backed him, and if they do go down, just stick with it, because he is a good young manager. If you sack him, his confidence, he doesn't prosper, and neither does the club. So stick with him, and they'll be back up next season, because they do have a identity. You know what they're trying to do. It's just they come up against better opposition, but you can see where they're going.
Yeah, it's the way that when Fulham, they identified really quite early in the season that things were just not going right absolutely whatsoever. So what did the board do? Do they change the manager to change the style of play? Do they change the players, etc.? No. The manager identifies it. He changes the style of play, the formation, and also the personnel. He changed pretty much everything, and he's got the results. And it's just hats off, really. Hopefully, they can survive. I want them to, because that just shows you it's the difference between a well-managed side and club compared to one that's a disaster. Mm. And, you know, really, you want Fulham to stay up instead of Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've got no agenda against Newcastle. I have more of an agenda with how they run. And yes, I always feel Ashley is an owner who's got away with it and keeps getting away with it. And you almost feel like, look, the fans don't want him. He'd like to leave, but no one's going to buy the club. But do you know what? And maybe the relegation might actually finally just shock him off, because he has got Rafa Benitez to try and bring him back up this time.
And no disrespect to the to anyone's fans. Leicester fans are great. I'm sure Villa fans are great. You know, our fans are great. But Newcastle fans, they don't deserve that. They've had a poor run of ownership throughout the years. They've had a lot of bad luck as well since Keegan days, when Freddie Shepherd and John Hall were in charge. They actually deserve good owners, because that fan base, it's incredible. It's incredible, that fan base. 53,000 at St. James's Park is always rocking. And, you know, they just deserve a bit of luck. So hopefully it comes for them.
Yeah. Right. Before we go on to the last two games, a bit of housekeeping from me. One is, if you like what we're doing, please hit the like button. It does help. And if you do like what we're doing, please subscribe. Tell family and friends, subscribe. When we get to 10K, there is going to be a giveaway, which we are going to be giving away a PS5 with the latest FIFA game, FIFA 21. So that is going to go to one of the subscribers when we get to 10K. I think we're at 8.5, I think, at the moment. So there's an incentive for everyone, that, you know, chance for PS5, which, you know, let's face it, you know, I think it's the hard to come by.
1,100 away, I think. We've got 8.9 now. Oh. 1,100 away, so get subscribing, guys, please. Thank you.
Good. And then the other two things is Discord. We do have a Discord server. Details are in the description below. It's great. It's hopping at the moment, and we've had some great ideas. Been the draft we did on Tuesday night, which went down really well, actually came from a Discord group, which someone said, we suggested, can we do one, because it's a quiet Tuesday. And, you know, Gav and Keith, you know, got it together really quickly. It was great fun. And then the final thing is, as we keep pushing it, the new website is live, lfcdt.com. It's live. It's got mine and Avi's ugly mugs on it, you know, and it's got linked to Discord, linked to the shows. And there is also the blog section where, if you want to write about football or you want to write an article about Liverpool, just send it in, you know, and we'll put it up, you know, whether you're an aspiring writer or whether you've never written before, you know, there's loads of interesting. We've got stuff from the fall of Italian football. We've got talks about the fact that there's an article on Rodgers, which is very interesting. And then to talk on Bobby Firmino, you know, so it's very varied. It doesn't have to just be Liverpool centric.
Sorry to chime in. Just there's articles, some great articles. The Brendan Rodgers one, the Trent one, the title one, and I think Rajiv Kumar put a Bobby Firmino one up a couple of days ago, which is a great read. Just a quick read, but it's really great detail. So yeah, guys, just keep carrying on and writing articles, because they are being read.
Yeah, and I was just going to say there, lads. Like, I'm in Ireland here, but like, I'm lucky enough to be getting paid to be writing about sport and producing sport content, but. That all started with an Aston Villa blog that I just started on my own. It was on WordPress. And I always say to people, when I was an editor at a sports website then, like, all I was looking for, I didn't care about the experience that people had. I just always wanted to see what they had written. And no matter where it is, if it's published, and that practice of writing, honestly, cannot speak or preach about it highly enough. It's so important. And a blog like this is unreal opportunity for people.
There you go. So that's what, anything else? Right. Before we get into the subject we're going to talk about before we get onto the games was random games that we love. So I asked the guys to give me a random game that they love. It doesn't have to be their club, or it could be a game from another club. It's just a bit of a random game. So, you know, I don't like World Cup finals or Champions League finals or, you know, League Cup finals. It's kind of a bit of a random game that means something to you. So Avi, what's your one? And I stress the word one.
I thought it was great moments rather than games. I thought it was just general what we thought.
No, game. If you read the agenda, it does say game.
I'm sorry, Pete, but I was going to say one that had, let's see. But game was 2001, a long time ago, when I was a youth. Barcelona versus Valencia, Barca at the Camp Nou. Barca needed to win to get into the Champions League. And they fell 2-0 behind Valencia. And then in the second half, Rivaldo scored probably one of the most amazing hat-tricks. And he finished the game with a 92nd-minute overhead kick from the edge of the box. Absolute brilliant. And the fans went wild. You know, the white tissues were out. That's a great memory for me, 2001. 2001 was actually a great year all round. As a Liverpool fan, we did the treble. But that game always stands out for me as one of the greatest games I've ever witnessed.
Cool.
Yeah, Kieran's got it. Kieran knows.
Oh, cool. Pete, what's yours?
Mine's actually not quite what happened during the game. It was the effect it had. And it's a game between Tottenham Hotspur and West Bromwich Albion. And when your team wins and you're at the ground, you go mad. You score a goal, you go mad. You have that elation. You watch your team on TV and you go mad. You have that elation of the goals going in. We all know how that feels. If you're then going to go and win a league or win a trophy, it means more, but you still have that elation of the goal going in, etc. Now, that could be just jumping up and down, going mad, hugging someone, whatever. I have never felt physically ill apart from watching this one game. This was late in the season where Leicester won the league and Tottenham were the nearest rivals. They were winning 1-0 and West Brom scored a late goal to make it 1-1. As soon as that final whistle went, in fact, it was about a minute before, my stomach had gone. I couldn't walk. My knees had gone, sweating, because it was gone. It turned from being something that might happen to this is actually happening. And I was at work. I had to stop working. I phoned my dad straight away, who was running up the road to my uncle's house crying. It had happened. Everything for that season was all about this might happen. This might happen. All of a sudden, it wasn't happen. Spurs had slipped up. They dropped points. Leicester, they're going to go and win the league. And that realization was the best thing. Better than when Hazard scored. Better than lifting the trophy. It was a game on a Monday night between Tottenham and West Brom. I have never felt like that ever. The only other time that came close was possibly when Trippier scored that free kick for England. That was unbelievable. But I generally felt ill and I couldn't walk. My knees are gone. I felt that's weird. That's weird. And it wasn't to do with Leicester. It was to do
thought,
with...
Who'd have thought West Brom would have that effect on you?
Exactly.
So the guy shout out here. So Rajiv's put in the Chelsea Tottenham game from 2016.
That was a brilliant game, yeah.
Was elated when Hazard scored.
It's amazing.
4-4 at Goodison. And then we've also had the 2014 World Cup final. Okay, Conan, what is yours?
2015 FA Cup semi-final, Aston Villa 2, Liverpool 1.
Oh. Off. Get him off.
I told you it was a bad idea, Bracky.
Like, how could you not love a game where you're clinging on at the end? The fans are going crazy. Liverpool have you penned in. You think it's going to slip. And then Dejan Lovren lines up a 40-yard strike with his right
Chris,
foot.
You're letting him get away with this. Literally, you are on our own channel.
Do you know what? It's like when you've been like, how can I put it? It's a horrible flashback. Because I can remember that. As soon as he connected, my exact phrase was, fuck that. And I walked out. No, worse than that. I walked out my house and my wife texted me to her and said, where are you? And I had to go walking off for half an hour because I was livid. I was probably angry.
150 years of breakthroughs, milestones, and triumphs. 150 years of Children's National Hospital. 150 years of generous community support. You can give kids a future where they get freckles instead of chemotherapy and paper cuts instead of surgery. Children's National Hospital. 150 years stronger with your help. Please give today. Visit childrensnational.org/150years. That's childrensnational.org/150years.
Never been, but,
Villa deserved it, though, Conan. Villa deserved it. They did actually deserve beating us.
We got it to 1-1, and to be honest, I was impressed we got it to 1-1, because, like, Christ, we were crap.
Yeah. Like, that was the day, like, you know, Grealish really announced himself on the stage. That was the day that Ireland, I feel, lost Grealish because Grealish realised, shit, actually, I'm pretty good. I think I'll hang on for England. And he did. Like, you say when Lovren connected with it, as soon as he started lining it up, I thought, oh, brilliant. Like, I thought we were in big trouble. And then I saw Lovren lining it up. I thought, great. Like, let him do whatever he wants to do on his right foot. But that game is something that I love about football as well, because the next season, Villa got relegated. Like, you know, I love that game because Benteke, Delph, and Grealish, they were just like a holy trinity at the time. I was obsessed with all of them. Delph ended up basically fecking us over. Like, you know, that hurt. Benteke left. Grealish, as he mentioned earlier, started having off-the-field problems. Villa got relegated. The Tim Sherwood buzz didn't last. You know, we ended up like plunging into the depths as a club, but it doesn't matter. Like, you know, that game, even though we lost 4-0 in the final to Arsenal, that game's remained untouched for Villa. Like, you know, in a way, not to get so deep and emotional on a Friday night, but that's the beauty of football, isn't it? Like, you just take those little moments with you, and like, no matter what happened afterwards, that game is like perfect, and that day is perfect for Aston Villa fans, of course.
Oh God, that's depressing. That now, what happened? We're not having him on again.
You know what's more depressing? You know what's more depressing than that? Buying Benteke that very same summer for like 30 million. That's what compounded. That just compounded everything after that.
No, so, I was
fine with signing Benteke. I was annoyed that we sold all the wingers because you kind of went. There's a bit of a tactical issue here because said he's not going to like do interplay and, you know, run behind. That's not his game. It's swinging in.
Yeah. The only thing I hated more about losing Benteke was losing him to Liverpool, who didn't really want him, and the fans who were like, "Ah, get rid of this boy." And I was like, "Oh my god, this guy was a god to us." And
he's never recovered, unfortunately, for him.
The only other game really was would have been when England beat Holland 4-0 in Euro 96 because at that age you kind of think that the Premier League and English football is just the best in the world, and players that you're watching, especially from a Leicester fan's point of view, because we were just brand new to that league and we were just getting promoted, etc. So these were all players that you've seen on TV and you're like, of course these are the best players. So when they're taking apart Holland, you're like, well, of course they are. This is just reinforcing what I've believed, you know, at the time I was 14. So in the years I've been watching football and watching the Premier League, I was like, of course they're the best. They should be doing this all the time. And I remember that game vividly.
Brilliant.
It was amazing.
Sharing them and Shearer, wasn't it?
But of course they did that. That's what they should be doing every time England play, because
it was that game we needed to score one more, and Scotland would have gone through the quarters as well. But we scored four, and they scored one, didn't they? Holland did score, I think, or did they score?
Yeah, Tim got one. 4-1, wasn't it? Tim Sherwood, Teddy Sherwood talks about it, going, it's 4-0 Scotland the three. He goes 4-1 and they're out, and he just smirked and went, "Where it goes, and walk." That was his reaction. Kieran Thorne with a very good shout. Holland versus Argentina in 1998. Burkamp, I was obsessed with the Holland team in 98. I was convinced that they were finally going to win the World Cup.
That goal was a brilliant goal, but made an awful lot better by Barry Davies' commentary as well.
Yes.
That makes that goal as well.
Cool. So my game is 19th of October 2019, the League Cup, Liverpool 5, Arsenal 5. Quite frankly, it's not to do with the game as such. I think Liverpool went through 5-4 on penalties. Jones scored. It was a ridiculous game, end to end. You know, the reason it means a lot to me is it was my daughter's only ever game at Anfield. So she's very young. You know, she's been to a lot of the women's games, but she's never been to a men's game. So to see her go to Anfield, she was shocked at how big it was. And she was so, because when it was like 3-1 down, I said, "You okay?" She was like, "Well, I want them to win." So when it got to her watching the penalty shootout, I was like, 19 goals in your first game. And it was just flashbacks for me to when I saw my first game was a 3-1 win against Southampton. It wasn't quite as exciting, but it's great to watch a child. And when I was watching the game around me, I think a lot of season ticket holders had given up the tickets for that game and gone, "Oh, I can't be arsed for this game." So there's loads of kids, you know, 6, 7, 8 getting their first game. So for me, it's a personal one because it's my daughter's first game, and she still talks about it now. You know, two years later, she thinks every football game is going to be like that. Bless her, she's got a horrible reality when she realizes not all football is like that.
I can't believe someone's first game had more goals than my 4-4 Leicester against Watford in 1992. I can't believe someone's seen more goals in their first game. That's unbelievable.
You must have got home after midnight then, Chris.
We ended up staying at the in-laws who live in Liverpool because traffic to get from Liverpool was horrendous. So I ended up staying over at my in-laws. It was just easier. Luckily, it was a half term. So that's the reason she got to go, because it was half term. Speaking of things that are horrible, there is a story now, pinch of salt time, because it is the Daily Mail, and it's the Daily Mail. There is talk that England are going to go to the Euros without Jack Grealish, without Jadon Sancho, and probably without Trent. Now, look, I have my Liverpool biases. But in my head, I'm going, they are three of the more creative players that we have. They are what I would call X-factor players, even though Trent's probably not at the level he was last year. Sure, you want players like that at least in your squad, rather than going for very reliable players. Now, look, I could easily have got this wrong, but it feels a bit of an own goal by the England manager. Now, I would say, if it's true, because like you said, the source is the Daily Mail. I just wanted to know, you know, Pete, what's your thoughts on this?
I smell BS massively. I think this is because of the holding midfield debate, the fact that there's two there, etc. I think what a newspaper like the Mail and what a lot of sites and especially newspapers will do is they'll look at that argument and then just basically fan the flames. And the fanning the flames means let's pick some players who aren't in the England squad this time around, who I think are nailed on for a place if they're fully fit. And let's just basically say they're not going to get picked. And again, try and build on this narrative of being too defensive. It smells of nonsense to me. I think you got Grealish, who's arguably, possibly fully fit, should be in the first team, let alone in the squad, nailed on. You got Sancho, if he's fully fit, raring to go, nailed on. And Trent, fully fit, raring to go, nailed on. And also starts. So I think it's rubbish. I think the manager also has, even though there was one thing with the Grealish, he's shown faith with those first two players. And then Grealish, you don't leave Grealish out at all. If you're not going to play him, fine. You put him on the bench because he's the first player coming off the bench. No worries. Playing different roles. So, yeah, I think it's absolute garbage. And I'd expect all three to be there.
Good point. I've seen a few saying it is probably clickbait. It could very well be. But it has been a subject that has been talked about, not just on, this is not me saying because it's on social media, it must be true. It, quite a few people are talking about, you know, my social group of friends. It's a thing we've talked about saying. And I think it says more about what people think about the current England structure is that everyone goes, I could see that. Whereas if something like that came out about one of our clubs, you know, they're going to get rid of the three best players, we'd all go, no, because we know that's not how our clubs are run. But with this, everyone's going, well, it wouldn't surprise you.
I think, the Trent thing will be interesting. He'll definitely go. Now, whether he starts or not, that's a different question. But you can't, those three players, they're on that plane. They're on the plane.
I would have thought so. I thought they were common sense that those three were going.
Although the plane's at Wembley, isn't it? So it's not, there's no plane.
The bus. They're on the bus then. Conan, as you see it.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd be as confident in Gareth Southgate's decision making. I would love to think. I think, Pete, you're right. Like, they should all definitely go. It shouldn't even be a question. I think it says a lot that we're even talking about that. Like, you know, and I saw it in the Times as well. Like, you know, I know Henry Winter's got a lot of sources in the FA, and normally, like, you know, I would see it like from the outside that he's kind to them. So it's strange to me that he would write a piece saying he's going to leave out Grealish and Trent here. Like, there's three right backs in the squad in the last camp there, and Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't make it. They're, like, we were talking about Konsa earlier. There were five centre halves. One of them was Eric Dier. You know, Eric Dier just wormed his way into the squad, and you know, not a word said about it.
Good job, Matt's not here. Matt can't work out he gets in the Tottenham squad.
Yeah, he doesn't even make the Tottenham team anymore. Like, Chilwell doesn't make the Chelsea team at the minute. Like, there's inconsistency sort of lined throughout all of Southgate's decisions, I think. And I think it's clear, to be honest, I almost lost energy sort of beating the Grealish drum when it came to England. Like, I'm just happy that everybody else sees it and sees it. It's so obvious that he should be very near the first team. I would definitely start him. It's hard to be too upset, you know, considering the embarrassment of riches that they have to, you know, if, for example, Sterling, Rashford and Foden plays, it's not like this is outrageous, but Grealish should obviously be an option. I think all three of those players are without doubt players who should be there, but honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. I can't get over the fact that Grealish didn't make the squad until September. But he didn't make the England squad until September. Like, he didn't make his England debut until then, only because somebody else got injured and they eventually called him up and brought him in. So, wouldn't put it past it. He's now missed the entire March calendar. He seemed to love Jesse Lingard. Gave him three games there. Like, Lingard, remember, hadn't played anything until he moved to West Ham and has played seven matches. Like, he talks about Trent not playing as well. Like, Lingard's not playing. Trippier's not even playing.
I mean, first to Lingard, obviously the West Ham move's done him the world of good.
Yeah, no, that's like I don't want to have a drive-by on Lingard either, but like he seems to have his favourites, I suppose, is my point.
Yeah, he has his trusted lieutenants, which, to be fair, every manager has them. Avi, we will get your view on it another time because I'm just seeing the time. We've still got two games to go through. So probably the big game for the weekend, Leicester versus Man City, a game I am looking forward to. Conan, how are you seeing this one?
Sorry, Pete, I have Man City 2-0. I love Brendan Rodgers. I think he's just getting better and better and better. I think Leicester it's incredible the consistency level that they've reached, but I just think City are just an unstoppable juggernaut at the minute, and I can't see them being stopped in this match.
Okay. Abby, how are you seeing it?
I think it's a big, big game for Brendan Rodgers. I know they're sitting at third for 56 points, but I think if they beat City, I think they'll go on definitely to secure top three, top four. I think a loss, I think it just brings a little bit of doubt with West Ham lurking, maybe Liverpool, maybe West Ham, Tottenham Hotspur lurking, Chelsea 51. I think it's a big game for Brendan Rodgers, but I can see it being a draw. I think 1-1, which 1-1. Will suit both teams fine. Yeah.
Okay, okay. I've got 2-1 City. I think it'd be a tight game, but I think City at the moment have just probably doing what Liverpool did last season. They're just finding a way, and these sort of big away games is where they sort of just about grind it out. I know what you're saying about Leicester. I mean, I think Leicester are in a comfortable position that one loss isn't going to kill them because they've got themselves that cushion.
Their running's quite bad, isn't it? Pete, you'll tell us. Their running's quite bad, isn't it, Leicester?
Yeah, I mean, interestingly enough, after this Man City game, they played West Ham. But their last three games, you know, you're talking Chelsea, Man United, Spurs. But this season, Leicester have already beaten Chelsea. They've already beaten City. Manchester City. They've got results against the bigger sides in the Premier League, Liverpool, etc. So, with this game, you look back at what happened earlier on in the season, Leicester winning 5-2, brilliant game. From a Leicester point of view. And it is generally a free hit when you play Manchester City, the best side in Europe, in my opinion. I think it's the best time to play them. They've got one eye, maybe hopefully two eyes on Europe next week. Players coming back from different corners of Europe, just like Leicester. But again, they're coming back with then a look to probably the game in midweek, knowing that the Premier League is pretty much done and dusted. So I'll be interested to see how Leicester line up. I think they'll go with the team that played in the last game, purely because the two players who you might bring into the side, or should I say four players, in fact, who you probably would have in the first Leicester team if everyone's fully fit, we're still missing four, they won't be ready. Maddison will be on the bench. He won't start. And Barnes is still a way off. Ricardo more than likely will come in at wing back, because we've now got the back three of Fofana, Soyuncu and Johnny Evans. I think Leicester will sit back. They'll do what they did at the Etihad, and they'll say to Man City, come on, you have a go, because not only can we get you on the counter-attack, but like the victory.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya. Yeah. Quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
No hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal. Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet-O-Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
In Manchester, that wasn't a smash and grab job. That wasn't the Leicester from 2016. That was genuine build-up play with Castagna, with Yuri Tielemans pulling the strings. And that game didn't have Maddison until late on, scored a brilliant goal. Vardy with his hat-trick. I think Leicester are just going to sit back and say to them, come on, you come towards us. And I'm not going to say that they'll be scared because it's Manchester City, but Pep Guardiola will know. He turned up in England and had a real rude awakening at the King Power when Leicester won 4-2. Again, a Vardy hat-trick in 2016. I know that's a long time ago, but still, it looks a great game on paper. I think it's going to be a really good watch. Hand on heart, I'm going to go for a draw, right? Because it's Leicester. if I had my betting head on, or, you know, I'd more than likely go for probably like a 2-1 away win, really. But I think Leicester, in the form that they're in, with two up top, with Kelechi Iheanacho, what, I think he's got 1,000 goals in his last two games or something like that, you know, the player of the month. He's on absolute fire, which is great to see. Also, just a word on him, because everyone's focusing on him and saying that Vardy's not scoring. And yes, he is on a bit of a run of failing to bank, but Vardy's playing really, really well. And I think having two up top, Vardy is now in that position in his career where he needs someone else up there with him. It's helping his game. His all-round game, Jamie Vardy, is fantastic. There was an old saying in the late 90s, Alan Shearer said, the best crosser of a ball is a centre-forward, because they know exactly what they need. And Jamie Vardy, when he pulls out wide, when he gets in the channels, he can put that ball on a plate for a fellow centre-forward, because he knows what he would like. And in his Leicester career, he's very rarely had another centre-forward with him on the field of play. So I think it benefits both of them. It gives an extra person to pass the ball through the middle by Youri Tielemans, one of the best passers of the ball in central midfield in the Premier League. So I'm going to go for a very entertaining game. I'm going to go for 1-1. I wouldn't be surprised if City win, but which City that will be, well, we'll just have to wait and see. But I'll go for a draw.
Oh, I like that. I like that at the end. Right, very quick fires. I just want to score for each of these games. Newcastle versus Spurs. Avi.
2-1, Spurs.
Pete.
0-3.
Okay. Conan.
1-0, Spurs.
I have 2-0, Spurs. Man United, Brighton. Abby?
1-0, Brighton.
You wish. Pete?
I'm going to go for 2-1, Brighton.
Okay, Conan?
I got 1-0, United. But it's like, I wouldn't be surprised, Brighton.
I've got 3-1, Man United. They'll probably get at least two penalties in it. And Everton Palace. Avi?
2-1, Everton.
I also have 2-1, Everton. Pete?
I was that close to going for 0-0. I'm going to go 1-0, Everton, but 0-0. No, 0-0. I'm going to go 0-0.
0-0. Game of the weekend. Conan?
2-0, Everton.
2-0, Everton. Cool. Right, final game. Arsenal versus Liverpool, which is normally, to be fair, a really entertaining game. Both sides need the win for differing reasons. So, Conan, how are you seeing this game?
Yeah, again, it's probably one of those questions where which Liverpool team is going to show up. But it's an interesting one now, isn't it? Like Roberto Firmino's back, right? But yep. Diogo Jota is also just banging in goals like he seems to do every single game that he plays in. So I to be honest, I know I'm removed from it and looking at it from the outside. I've never been too worried about Liverpool, even though they kept losing and they kept losing. But it just seems like one of those ones. Like, how often have you seen Real Madrid go badly in the league and still win the Champions League? I'm not saying Liverpool are definitely going to win the Champions League, but it doesn't mean that they're going to disappear. They're just in a league that's more competitive, so when they don't go as well, then they can slip down to 6th or 7th without you even realising it. And obviously it went on for a bit longer than normal, but Arsenal are a joke. I think this is a good game for Liverpool to sharpen the knives again for the Premier League, and I think the break will have done them good. I think guys going away in international break scoring goals will have done them good, and I think just having that little bit of flexibility and a bit of depth again, you know, just with the ability of being able to have Firmino on the bench, Curtis Jones, I saw during the week, he's just such a lovely player. Like, I think I know Liverpool have the problems and we all know what they are, but I think that they've sort of gotten back into a groove. Now, I think we all agree maybe that Fabinho in midfield will benefit them, and I think they just got that blueprint now going forward, and Arsenal always come along, I find, for Villa anyway. They always come along for teams at the right time when they need to bounce back, and they're more than willing to just help them bounce back.
Okay. Actually, you're getting invited back on now. You're back in the good books now after that FA Cup debacle. Pete, how are you seeing this?
It looks a great game, really. It could go either way, which is a very obvious thing to say, but I think it could go either way. in terms of a 3 or even 4-1, something along those lines. I think with Arsenal have got a few problems. I think Saka's out, whether Smith Rowe is going to play or not. A big fan of him. I think he's a really, really good player, really good talent. But I just don't. I think they need to really settle on their forward line. There's a few big questions to answer for Arsenal with their forward line in the summer for me. With the likes of the keep Odegaard, and you got Smith Rowe. What happens further forward? Whether they're going to go with Lacazette? Whether they what's happened to Aubameyang? But then you look at Liverpool. Jota's got to play. He's given more energy, hasn't he, into that forward line? And obviously the issue is at the back.
Yeah, he gives a directness that Liverpool probably lacked, I would say.
Yeah, he looks as much as the other players are still obviously world class, fantastic players. From an outsider's point of view, when he came on, or when he first reappeared after his injury, he just looks like a brand new spark, a bit of fresh air. You know what I mean? Like it was almost like the other Liverpool forwards have been wearing the same shirt for the last 4 or 5 games, and this guy's come on with a brand new, newly laundered shirt, and it's all nice, and it's just fresh and a bit of energy. And I think this, from a completely neutral's point of view, is a really good game. To finish the week or to finish the day. So I'm going to go for, overall, after all this, I'm going to go for plenty of goals. I'm going to go for 3-2 Liverpool. I think they will just have the edge. And I can see it being very similar, in fact, to Arsenal's previous game against West Ham. I can see one of these sides, either side, taking an early lead and going 1 or 2 up. So I can see Arsenal going 2 up and then Liverpool coming back to win. But then the other way around, I can see Liverpool scoring 3 goals and then Arsenal coming back in and grabbing a couple. So from a neutral's point of view, plenty of goals, 3-2, could go either way, but I'll be polite.
Okay, I say that. Dan Jace says, I hope our lineup is Alisson, Trent, Phillips, Kabak, Robertson, Fabinho, Thiago, Keita, Salah, Firmino and Jota. Give Mane and Gini a chance to refresh before the Real Madrid game, but it'll still be a strong team. So all this positivity, Avi, I'm assuming you're going to continue this. Before you give me a score, what team do you think he'll pick? Do you think he'll make change or think he'll go with his strongest 11? Because I think there's two big hitters that don't start for us.
I think he'll go with the strongest 11, and I include Jota in that. I think when we start resting players for a big game, it just never works out for us. So he's got to go strong tomorrow and then go strong against Madrid on Tuesday. And I think Jota will play in both games. If he's fit, he'll play. Like Pete said, he's brought that freshness back. You know, a little bit of ingenuity between the front three again. And, you know, against Wolves, we should have packed him away. You know, we got 1-0, but it should have been like 2-3, really. We had some great chances at will. I said it yesterday as well with Grizz. I fancy us winning 3-0 tomorrow. I really do. I think Arsenal now are starting to slowly look at the Europa League now as their best chance to get into Champions League football. They don't have nothing to really play for in the league, bit of pride, but I can see us doing a job on them.
Cool. So I'll say it wouldn't surprise me, and it's controversial, if Jota's on the bench. I just think the likes of Firmino has had 2 weeks training, and I just think they're fresh. Jota's had to play 3 games in a week. And coming back from an injury, he'll want to not risk anybody. I don't think for that Madrid game, because as much as I like to be optimistic, we could still potentially get top 4, and there's an outside chance of it. You've got to throw a lot of your eggs in that Real Madrid basket. And Gini again, I know the man's a machine, but maybe this is the sort of game where you do try a Keita out to give Gini just some rest, because he'll do a lot of running against Madrid. I have a 2-0 Liverpool. I've got Salah and Mane. Both scoring, which, to be honest, if we do that, that'll be our first win at the Emirates in over 4 years. Our last win at the Emirates was when Manny made his debut in the mad 4-3 game. You know, and the way Pete described it, it could be another one of those mad games. I think Liverpool went 4-1 up, and then Arsenal flew back, and we all got a bit twitchy and edgy, which, you know, with Dejan Lovren at the back and Mignolet in goal, you know, most people do get twitchy and edgy, to be fair. So, cool. So we're all going for Liverpool wins. In the comments, I've seen lots of 3-0s, 3-1s, couple fancying Arsenal as well. So, which is understandable, because let's face it, record there's not great. Right. So before we go, Pete, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on For Fox 8 Podcast at FFS Pod. And we'll hopefully be discussing Leicester cementing a top four place, and our podcast comes out on Monday. We tend to let things just breathe slightly, so Monday and Tuesday is to have a bit more of a kind of overround look at what happened over the weekend. But fingers crossed, a win for City, being the correct City this one, not those Blues of Manchester.
Good, good. And Conan, you've obviously Friday Forecast Davey, you've shook it up, you've rattled a few people in the comments, you've done well, really. So I'm sure we'll be having you on again.
Great debut.
Just for the fun and games, really. So, but no, joking aside, really, really good to have you on, mate. Where can people find you as well and find your content?
You can find me stuck back in 2015, re-watching the Liverpool v Aston Villa semi-final over and over. No, thanks for having me on. I'm on the Villa podcast. I'm not expecting anybody to want to listen to an hour of me whinging after Aston Villa inevitably don't win their matches, but I'll put out the best bits on Twitter. So we're on the Villa podcast on Twitter. So we'll cut down little videos there. And we do have a little cut off other managers and stuff like that. So that's always fun. So we'll put out the best bits, keep an eye out. And hopefully I'll not be bringing up Dejan Lovren next time I'm on.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't. It still gives us flashbacks. Avi, you're just on everything at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got my own little wrestling sort of segment in Discord now, so I've got everyone talking about wrestling and UFC and whatnot. So, and Pete and Conan, if you guys want to join the Discord as well, a really good crack. It's not all Liverpool, there's general music stuff. Chris is on the odd occasion when he knows how to use it with his hands and whatnot, but it's a great crack.
Big fat fingers, yeah, you know, give me a few minutes, you know. I'm also a moderator, so I think you've been thrown off a couple of times.
Charlie.
Can't think why, yeah. So anyway, listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us. This has been the Friday Forecast. Now, listen, we are back next Friday. It's definitely me, it's definitely Avi. And potentially we're going to have a special guest, which hopefully should be confirmed next couple of days. So keep an eye out for that. And no doubt we'll have Pete and Conan on soon. Until then, we'll see you guys next Friday.
Time to fire up the grill.
Time to go to Total Wine and find the perfect flavor to pair with those burgers.
Ooh, I love their beer cooler.
You love their prices even more.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Hey, which glasses look better on me?
Oh, what's this?
Zenni's 3D virtual try-on. Pretty cool, right?
I don't know about the purple cat eyes.
I think they're fun. What about these tortoiseshell glasses? Or these rimless sunglasses? Oh, what about these clear frames?
Wait, are those prices real? Do they have glasses for men?
Yep, they also have affordable blue light glasses.
Seriously? At those prices? Get them all.
I like where this is going.
Zenni.com. Quality prescription glasses starting at $6.95.
Sports Social Podcast Network.